Football Weekly with James Richardson in association with SportingBet.com.
It's Football Weekly. Title race. Still no winner yet. We'll keep you posted. Race for fourth place. Ditto. But blow me, did you see Fernando Torres? Meanwhile, down at the bottom, while Zowie Ian Dowie brings sunshine to the KC, Zola produces worst hammer record since You Can't Touch This, which is actually quite good. So maybe pumps and a bump. Also today, we look towards the big Champions League showdowns this midweek, get the latest from Spain, Italy, and the Championship, where there could be some sore legs ahead for Triggs. And as Sven-Göran Eriksson joins Ivory Coast, we hail a Swede who's always keen to try out yet another new position. All that plus your post in today's Football Weekly. Lovely. Joining me today on Football Weekly, Barry Glendening.
Good morning.
Good morning to you, Barry. And James Dart, rom-com loving James Dart, browned off literally from a vacation.
Hi, James.
Hi. And the man who's living your dream with his A to Z of dating.
Hello.
John Ashdown. Yes. John, you've been on holiday too?
Yeah, there was an alphabet dating hat trick during the
I was going to say.
As well, yeah.
Right.
It wasn't particularly exciting or spectacular.
Well, we want to hear it.
We went to went to a gallery for G.
All right.
Which was good. And then we went to Primrose Hill for H, which is a bit of a stretch, but that wasn't mine.
It's a hill.
P.
Yeah. Well, it's
got
a H in it.
Did you take a hamper? Or?
We had a vegan dinner, which was very healthy as well. Which
right.
A double H attempt. And then for my turn again, we went to
vegan dinner in Primrose Hill?
Yeah.
What, right. Did you go on this date with Sean Ingham?
No, well, we'd give it. I'm not eating meat at the moment. And then I was my choice again, so we went to the Imperial War Museum.
Yeah. Okay, so you're responsible for the play about Hitler and the Imperial War Museum. Good. Lovely. Tell you what, there's a battle going on at the top of the Premier League. Most eye-catching result of the weekend, was it Chelsea? Bouncing back from their recent travails with that whomping of Aston Villa.
It was probably the most eye-catching scoreline, obviously. Mm. I think the most eye-catching performance was Liverpool's against Sunderland, but you obviously want me to talk about Chelsea against Aston Villa first.
No Drogba, but no problem.
No Drogba, but still scored 7 goals. One of several results this weekend that wreaked havoc with my fantasy football team because several of my first choice players were all rested ahead of other more important matches. And Drogba was carrying some sort of knock, so he got a rest. Chelsea just swept Villa aside, and James Collins tweeted on his Twitter account an abject apology to all Villa fans for their performance, and said he was, embarrassed or ashamed to call himself a professional footballer. Hmm. And, he got in a good bit of PR there, I think.
Well, it was nice. It was a very impressive performance. What a shame you don't have Florent Malouda or Frank Lampard in your fantasy team.
Yeah.
Malouda's, I think as many people are now pointing out, in the last couple of weeks has really... possibly longer than that, but certainly I've noticed the last couple of weeks really seems to be contributing in a much improved way.
Playing well on the field, obviously. I mean, he's scoring goals for fun. But remember, of course, he could have been sent off at Portsmouth and thus he would have been banned from Saturday's game, potentially for that flailing arm down at Preston Park. But, apart from that, he's playing very, very well.
Mm-hmm, indeed. Well, the next game, Chelsea, is against Man United on Saturday. Crucial clash that in the Premier League battle. Man United, Barry, you were a keen observer of their battle, their game with Bolton.
Yeah, I was.
No Rooney, no problem for United.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the scoreline didn't reflect the good game Bolton gave them.
Really?
And until sort of halfway through the second half, I thought Bolton would still, still had a goal in them and could have given Manchester United trouble. They played quite well, but ended up on the wrong end of a hammering. And, Rooney was rested and, again, it was a pretty easy victory in the end.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think I agree with that. I think apart from the first early minutes, United dominated. But, I mean, Bolton really came into it. Two really quality saves from Edwin van der Sar before Bolton did score in the wrong net. Nice finish, Jaloy Samuel.
What was he thinking?
He was...
It was an extraordinary brain freeze because there's about 5 different things he could have done that seemed to be the more obvious things to do, perfect slotted, perfect finish past Jaskalainen. And even one of his own defenders went up to him and just sort of patted him patronisingly on the head. J. Lloyd Samuel it was who put the ball past his own keeper. And, you know, he just looked a bit dazed and confused. It was an extraordinary own goal.
As you said, it's fantastically set up for Saturday. Once they got that, the freeze of Inter out of the way and Blackburn out of the way, they seem to have got themselves back onto an even keel. But we could be changing things again come next Monday.
Yeah. You wouldn't want to rule that out. What about United's chances at the Allianz Arena? Great news that Iron Robin is not going to be of the party, we hear.
Yeah, he's injured with a calf.
Great news for United, that is. Not necessarily for neutrals or Bayern fans, I'm guessing.
We know what you meant.
Right, okay.
He's got a calf injury. He's almost certain not to play. And Rio Ferdinand and Wayne Rooney have been past fit.
Your father used to deal with calf injuries, didn't he?
Oh, God. Sorry. Yeah, I'm slightly concerned about how Manchester United will fare if Gary Neville plays. He's going to be up against Frank Ribery, which could result in all manner of havoc being wreaked, considering like Wolves winger Matthew Jarvis made a fool of him a couple of weeks ago. And so if a workman player like Jarvis is able to do that, then what is one of the best players in the world going to do to him?
Yeah. I don't honestly know a huge amount about Bayern to sort of say if they're going to give United many problems, but they were a little bit fortunate to get squeezed past Fiorentina.
They were incredibly lucky against Fiorentina. I mean, I think anyone who saw that game, I mean, that Fiorentina were really, really, especially the game in Germany as well. Right. Bayern were very poor at the weekend, losing 2-1 was it at home to Stuttgart, I believe. So, I mean, they're
off the top of the Bundesliga. Well, as you mentioned, not only that refereeing error, which gave them the win in the first game, but then the second game, they only got through thanks to a wonder goal from Iron Robin, who, as I mentioned, happily for Man United, is going to be out.
That
also,
is
they
great
say.
News for United. Raphael Honigstein said in his column, which is up on the site, that Robin does feel a lot better today, but is almost certain to miss out.
Oh, really?
And he also reckoned that Bayern clearly had one eye on the midweek Champions League fixture when they got beaten by Stuttgart.
Mm. Liverpool. Not involved in any way with the Champions League.
No.
Currently, or possibly in
again.
The short term future. Chelsea, no Drogba, no problem. Man United, no Rooney, no problem. Liverpool without Torres, though, your sense might be a different answer.
Well, I think the whole Liverpool performance yesterday was magnificent. I confidently predicted Sunderland would get a result in the last pod, and they did. They lost 3-0, and were incredibly fortunate to lose 3-0 because they could have lost 11 or 12-0. It's by a mile the best performance I've seen Liverpool deliver this season. Torres was magnificent. Both goals were excellent. The first one was just marvellous, cutting in from the left and floating the ball into the top right-hand corner past Craig Gordon. And, I mean, Sunderland's players were visibly drained by half time and how they kept the score down to 3-0, I just have no idea, because I think even if they'd played on top of their game, they'd still have been beaten comfortably, because that Liverpool were just incredible yesterday.
Was it just Torres or the whole team, the new formation, well, newish, the different formation that Benitez went with, of having Lucas on the bench crucially, and in a support role, and Gerrard back in the midfield. Babel, who looked good as well, Ryan Babel.
Gerrard was getting forward a lot yesterday, and that was obviously helping Liverpool.
I thought the point was that he wasn't. That he was able to play deeper as opposed to...
Well, he was making a lot of forward bursts onto the edge of the box, and his crossing in his corners were very good yesterday compared to usual. And Insua had a good game yesterday, and Maxi was excellent as well. So a lot of players who haven't really been stepping up of late did come to the fore yesterday.
But they did this against Portsmouth and against Lille, and then, of course, when it came to a bigger clash, Man United didn't work out. I'm wondering, John, can we mention Benfica? Do you think that counts as the kind of game where Rafa will continue with his more adventurous formation, or will it be another setback for the Reds?
I imagine away from home that he'd revert to the five in midfield, I guess. Am I the only one who preferred Torres' second goal to his first one?
No, I think that Robbie Fowler preferred his second one. So you're in good company there.
Robbie Fowler, yeah. Tremendous.
Yeah. Benfica, though, I mentioned Liverpool. That's a tough game. John, you're nodding because you want to talk about the fact that, the last English team to go there, Everton, smash 5-0. And you know, they're 6 points clear at the top of the table.
That was sort of early season Everton, though, wasn't it?
But I don't care. It was an early season Benfica. Clearly, this is a very, very top team.
Oh, it is, yeah. And there's no doubt about that. And the Europa League is an important... I don't know if you saw the highlights from the last round. There were teams flying at each other. It was really good entertainment. And teams all wanting to win. And so there's no doubt that despite Benfica being clear at the top of the Superliga, I think
that's
it is correct,
yeah.
isn't it? You know, they really want to win this competition, as do Liverpool.
Can I throw you a Benfica stat? Maybe you're going to do it for me, James.
Go ahead, please, James.
I'll go first. Do you know how many goals Benfica have conceded at home in the league this year?
I'm going to guess at 2.
5. Thanks for undercutting.
Sorry.
What was your point?
My point was, I think I was watching the same game as John in the last round, and you just look at the players in the Benfica lineup. I mean, they have some fantastic players in that team, and they're as good as any team left in that competition right now.
There's a Portuguese bar and restaurant around the corner from where I live. I eat there sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I watch...
Why don't you name it?
Nando's.
You can get some free...
Is it Nando's?
No, it's not Nando's. I can't remember the name of it, to be honest.
Okay.
We just call it the Portuguese place.
Right.
But I watched the Portuguese Carling Cup final in there, and Benfica won that 3-0.
Is it
very
cool?
Impressive.
The Portuguese Carling Cup
final? No, it's the Portuguese equivalent. It's probably the Sagres Cup final.
Yeah. Okay.
It may well be, actually.
I'll tell you what we haven't talked about yet is Arsenal, who have their own European clash coming up with a, you know, Iberian flavour to it, for which they warmed up with a 1-1 draw at Birmingham. For Mikko Tomica says, why couldn't Birmingham score first and then we get the equaliser? Then it would be the mark of champions who don't give up. Now we're just rubbish. I must admit, I was a bit perplexed at the way that... this result, while a disappointment for the Gunners, was seen as a major blow to their title hopes. Because, after all, Chelsea did something like this last week, drawing at Blackburn in far less impressive fashion, and have bounced back this week. And I'm sure Arsenal can still do that, can't they?
I'm sure they can. I mean, a draw for United and Chelsea next week would be a marvellous result for Arsenal, who have to play Wolves. You have to presume that they should probably beat Wolves. And that would put them right back in it, you know? So... all is not doom and gloom, although listening to Arsene Wenger after the game, he used the F word.
Mm. Yeah. What about Almunia? Should have bought a keeper, Wenger? No?
I think a lot of Arsenal fans are pretty tired of Almunia and would like to see somebody else. You sort of scan around and think, who is there that's knocking around? I'm surprised that, you know, it took quite a long time for Edwin van der Sar was at Fulham a long time before being picked up by United, and you did wonder why, you know, that took quite a long time. And somebody like Jussi Jäskeläinen, who, although wasn't great at the weekend, but I think it's a tremendous...
See, I always think Jussi Jäskeläinen's generally a great keeper, and marvel at the fact that he never got a shot somewhere else. But then I think of your, you know, Shay Given dictum, whereby...
There is a touch of the Hollywoods about
him.
He puts off great saves for the camera. I actually think Jussi Jäskeläinen is a better keeper than Shay Given.
And Mark Schwarzer, similarly left in exile at Borough for too long before a wise old Roy Hodgson came for him.
I mean, he's good too. But Jäskeläinen's been at Bolton for, was it, did I hear?
9 years.
9 years.
Yeah, I think it feels
more.
Like forever, doesn't it?
Yeah. So
maybe he just likes Bolton.
Maybe he does.
Maybe he does. All right. Cesc Fabregas, meanwhile, not looking too enthusiastic, I thought, to St Andrews on the weekend after taking that knock. And not moving too easily, in some doubt over his participation in the Barcelona game. James, will he play?
Well, definite doubt, I think. I think he'll play. I think they can't afford for him not to play. Especially when you think that they've got Wolves coming up at the weekend. They can afford to leave him out for that one. So,
is it mind games, do you think?
Is it mind games?
Yeah.
It could be. I think anything could be read into as mind games as managers these days.
Mm.
I think we probably go too soon to using the word mind games.
He seems to be less in doubt than Iniesta, who's very in doubt.
Very out.
Oh, he's out,
he's
officially
out.
Out
I think, yes.
Well, let's get the latest on that and more right after you hear this bit of music from Sid Lowe.
Football Weekly from The Guardian, in association with SportingBet.com.
Hello, James, how are you?
I'm very well. Sid, where are you in the wide world of Spanish football?
I'm sitting at a desk in Almeria.
In Almeria?
In Almeria, yeah.
Is this the road to...
That's Amarillo.
All right.
And Pillow.
That's Amarillo, unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah.
There is a road to Amarillo, obviously, or else I wouldn't have got here, but, but it's not Amarillo.
Are we interrupting you on holiday, Sid?
Yes.
All right. Nice. How's the weather?
Don't worry about that. It's always a pleasure to hear.
Yeah, how's the weather?
Gorgeous, yeah, very nice.
Oh, lovely. Are you in your briefs?
Am I my Bruce? No, I'm wearing a very natty pair of swimming shorts that go well below my knees, you'll be pleased to know, and have all swirly flowers and stuff on them.
Do you have a shirt on, Sid?
Yes, I do. Well, a T-shirt, not a shirt.
What does it say on it?
It doesn't say anything on it. It's just got a silly pattern.
All right.
Are you wearing your handkerchief?
That's could have said, I belong to Jimbo, but, you know? You're the person we...
If I had an I belong to Jimbo T-shirt, I would certainly wear it.
Right.
We've really got to start marketing that.
Well, bad news, because I was talking to Sean about this, and he seems to think that the marketing department don't see it as a surefire winner, and therefore aren't willing to bankroll the production.
Couldn't we just get a job lot of Moby T-shirts and pass them off as Jimbo?
It's going to work, actually, isn't it? Yeah.
Mrs. Baz wears the only I belong to Jimbo T-shirt in existence in Bednar.
Oof, this sounds very much like David Mellerin, whatever her name was, Arantida Antonio, or whatever her name was.
Yeah, it certainly does. All right,
that's
meantime,
an image. Sorry, yeah. Let's get rid of it.
No, no. Meantime, Barcelona against Arsenal, as you mentioned. Repeat of the 2006 final, Thierry Henry, blah, 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 blah. What's the Spanish take on this game, Sid?
Essentially, that it's massive. It's massive, obviously, in terms of what it means for Barcelona, the chance to get into a Champions League final. Also, I think there's real admiration for what Arsenal have done with Arsene Wenger. There's a feeling, which I think probably taps into that slightly superior attitude that there is in Catalonia sometimes, that Barcelona played the only pure football. Well, there's a feeling that Arsenal are the only side in the world who play similarly to them, and that therefore it should be a really, really great game. And there's a belief, I think, that I wouldn't go so far as to say that they don't mind getting knocked out, but if they were to be knocked out by anyone, getting knocked out by Arsenal wouldn't hurt as much as, say, losing to, well, obviously Real Madrid, but even someone like Inter Milan or one of those other teams that doesn't play perfect football.
Really? That's interesting. Let's quickly touch on the Liga there. You mentioned this derby business between Real and Atletico, and a win for Barcelona in a tough fixture away to Mallorca.
Yeah, and Mallorca side who won every single game at home except for one against Sevilla. Barcelona took the liberty of leaving Xavi out, although, as I mentioned before, he did come on, and Messi out, and he also came on. And Ibrahimovic scored, so that's three games running that he scored now, and they've been important goals each time as well. But it is true that while Barcelona struggled, I think after the first 25 minutes or so, there was a sense of I wouldn't say comfort about it, but there was a sense that the result was going to happen. Mallorca hit the post twice, not just the post, but almost exactly the same point at the post twice. Victor Valdes did something that he's been doing consistently this season, and that's make a couple of key saves with the score still at 0-0. And right now, I have to say, I think he's probably the best goalkeeper in Spain, better than Iker Casillas. That's right now. That's not to say that in the long term he will continue to be so. And Barca did struggle a little bit against Mallorca, but I suppose in a way, given their brilliant home record, that's not surprising. And there is still that sense that there's only one game that counts, which is the Clásico. Bear in mind that Barcelona and Real Madrid, between the last 22 games, they've won 20 of them, drawn one and only lost one between the two of them. Madrid are racking up victories fantastically at the moment, and Barcelona are hanging in there as well.
Woof. And the other thing was you compare in your excellent article on Sunday the Liga to the SPL, which I wanted to disagree with. The gap between second and third in Spain is 21 points now, in Scotland it's just 8. So it's a much more competitive.
Yeah. And in Spain, too. But then the comeback would be, in Spain, two teams at least are battling out for the title. In Scotland, only one team is, and that's if you can even call Rangers a football team these days.
Crikey, that's Sid Lowe, Scottish listeners. Sid Lowe saying that. All right, Sid. Listen, you get back to your holiday. What have you got planned for the afternoon?
It's not much of a holiday at the moment. I've still got some things to write, unfortunately.
What about Mrs. Sid?
Well, both Mrs. Sid and Stella will probably have to go to the beach on their own.
Sid Lowe in Spain. Also this week in the Champions League, all-French encounter, Barry. Bordeaux taking on Olympique Lyonnais in Lyon. But of course, as you'll point out, there's no chance of a French side going through, so I'm not quite sure what's going to happen there. They'll both bottle it and what?
I'd imagine they'll both find some way of contriving to get eliminated. But
right.
No, just Sean Ingalls slagged me off for my well-documented views on the French side's lack of progress in recent years in Europe in a podcast I wasn't in recently.
Yes.
So I might as well take the opportunity to slag him off while he's not here by saying that Laurent Blanc has since come out and agreed with me.
No, he didn't.
He said that French sides to date, in recent years, haven't had the right mentality.
Mm-hmm.
They've haven't had enough confidence in their own abilities.
Mm-hmm.
and that, which is exactly what I've been
saying. No, it's not.
It is.
There's a difference in tense. He said that in the past, French teams have had had difficulty doing that, whereas what you said was they won't go through because they don't have the right mentality. You refused to accept the possibility. No, they did because they went through. I see your point.
You're nitpicking.
I'm not nitpicking. If you write them off preemptively, you have to accept that when they come back.
Well, he made his comments long after me when they had already progressed to the quarterfinals. So he had the benefit of hindsight, which I didn't.
Right.
But we were basically driving at
wrong,
the same
thing. You can't now claim to be right because
are cheese-eating surrender monkeys with no bottle.
That's something we can all agree on. Right, okay, Italy, meantime. Inter, Italy's lone representative in the Champions League, are taking on CSKA Moscow. A couple of suspensions for Inter. They have Lucio out, who, of course, was such a key factor in their successful passage past Chelsea. Thiago Motta as well, perhaps less crucial, unless it's Mundari who comes in his place, in which shall take a breath in Milan. Also, a problem for Inter is the fact that, meanwhile, back in the league, things are crumbling badly. Saturday night, they were defeated 2-1 by Roma, which means that Roma, who were 15 points behind Inter at one point, are now just 1 point behind them. Milan, who only managed to draw with Lazio, are 3 points back. Still very interesting, three teams in three. Also interesting, or not, is the fact that this is the fourth time that Inter have lost in Serie A this season, and each time it's been just ahead of their Champions League appointment. So no questions there where their priorities lie. And not only were they beaten, but they had a whole rash of yellow cards on Saturday. So their next game in Serie A, which is against Bologna, they will be without Zanetti, Lucio, Maicon and Eto, which, if you had to say, you know, which four players would really cost them, that's pretty much the quartet you'd come up with.
If Inter somehow contrive to balls up Serie A,
which
they are very much doing capably at the moment, and they fail to win the Champions League, what reaction do you think will there be to Mourinho?
Well, somebody was saying that a smart-ass winner is one thing, but a smart-ass loser is an entirely different kettle of fish. And given that the Italian press and public, to a large extent, have some difficulty with Mourinho and his brashness, it would put him in a very difficult position were it not for the fact that everyone expects him to do one at the end of the season anyway. We shall see about that because, you know, he or his people seem to talk him up in relation to a lot of big clubs, Real Madrid first and foremost, but, you know, it may turn out that said clubs have other plans. Wouldn't be the first time that we've heard about Mourinho going to join some club or other. And I think last summer as well, there was talk of him going to Real Madrid. And of course, that didn't happen. But anyway, there you go. Balotelli. So they are making moves to try and rescue the situation with Balotelli, who refuses to say sorry for the bust-up that they had, Mourinho and Balotelli. And so they're going to try and sort that out and see if they can maybe bring him back. Although Balotelli Milan jerseys were on sale outside the San Siro ahead of Milan Lazio. Grazie Roma, great song that, says, is it time to reevaluate Claudio Ranieri? I was impressed by his attacking formation. And by the way, Roma pressed high up the pitch, giving Inter precious little time on the ball. Menez looks to be finally coming good. It was brilliant man management bringing on Totti for the last 10 minutes. Ranieri, fantastic. If you think about how Ranieri took over this club, back at the start of the season, Spalletti was hugely popular with the Roma fans, left because he said that basically the situation was, you know, beyond him. And the fans were staging violent protests. There were homemade bombs at the training ground. The whole thing was spiralling into disaster. Ranieri has come in and not really spending a lot of money. I mean, they brought in Luca Toni in January. And Totti's been out most of the time, talismanic captain Totti, etc. He's been able to impose some order on this talented but oft ill-disciplined team. And people like Menez are finally coming good. Pizarro was brilliant on Saturday. It was a fantastic performance by Roma. And Luca Toni scoring goals again, which is great news. And they're just 1 point behind Inter, as I mentioned. Yeah, there you go. Juve actually won this weekend, which means they're one of three teams tied just outside the top four. They're there with Sampdoria and Napoli behind Palermo. But before the game against Atalanta, as the team were leaving, there were about 200 fans gathered outside their hotel in downtown Turin. And first of all, they demanded to have a conversation with Alessandro Del Piero, as a kind of representative of the team, which they were granted. But then after that, clearly not satisfied, they then threw eggs and bottles at various Juve directors and players as they made their way to the coach. And Zebina even got a slap round the back of his head by a fan. Extraordinary.
Lucky they won.
It is lucky they won. It is lucky they won.
It does make you think, what exactly did Del Piero say? So it's all it's all the Venus role.
Yeah, dear. Right. Excellent. Many thanks for your patience there. And, return of the Sven Göran Eriksson, methinks, yes? Before we close off part two, taking over at Ivory Coast from Vahid Halil Hodzic, who got a bit of a rough deal from the Ivory Coastians, didn't he?
Well, he certainly says he did, but...
Well, he won 23 games in a row.
Yeah, but
lost
he lost
the
important
against,
one, quarter-final against Wolfe.
Right, compare and contrast to Sven Göran Eriksson's record. He also goes out in quarter-finals.
Yes.
Yep. Well, what do you think, then, this time around?
Well, I think Sven leads a very charmed life, and I wish him all the best. He seems like a nice fella. He's absolutely blessed when it comes to landing lucrative football jobs that he
turns out to be
not particularly good at. The figure being bandied about is $600,000 for a four-month contract, which is better than a poke in the eye. He's supposed to the Ivory Coast spoke to have talked to Eric Gerrits a while back, the Belgian dude, about giving it to him, but he obviously didn't want
it. Hiddink, I think it was mentioned.
Hiddink, Mark Hughes. But Sven has got the job. Maybe he undercut the rest of them or something. But his track record certainly wasn't good with Mexico, wasn't brilliant with England in World Cup finals. And, you know, it's a good side he's taken on. So.
It is a good side.
Just to defend Sven in, it's a slightly, not a particularly pleasant place to be, but to defend Sven for his record in major tournaments, he did reach three quarterfinals with three teams that were fairly limited, really. And the quarterfinals was probably a par score for those squads that he took, two of which had Darius Vassell in them, I should point out.
Yeah, but he picked Darius Vassell.
Yeah, no, sure. But you know, it just shows the lack of options available. And twice, on two occasions, possibly three, it went to penalties.
Yeah.
And which is, of course, is a lottery. And so it could have been semi-final, and who knows? And if he gets Ivory Coast to the quarterfinals, he'll have done a
I think they'll
job.
Be, they'll probably be delighted. Of course, it's ironic that two of the teams that knocked him out in the quarterfinals, not ironic at all, but it's interesting.
In an Alanis Morissette sense of the word.
But Brazil and Portugal, they're in the same group with him, along with North Korea, who also offered Sven the job, so he can't be that rubbish. Yeah. But if they beat Kim Jong Il.
Pak Duik, your voice took a hell of a beating.
Part three. Let's hear from the listeners. L. Henry posting in saying, just check Mr. T's Wikipedia page. Keywords, wrestled, martial arts, military policeman, NFL football, bouncer, fight, bodyguard for Muhammad Ali, Steve McQueen, Joe Frazier. Be careful, says L. Henry, who you pick a fight with, Jimbo. This after I suggested that Mr. T wasn't all that in the fighting department. Gogo Solano says, "Oh, currently Newcastle are the only team in the top four divisions to hold an unbeaten home league record. If we manage to get by Forest on Monday and get to the end of the season undefeated, it'll be only the second time in the club's history and the first in over 100 years. Will they do it? John Ashton."
I imagine they will.
Do you think?
Because Forest aren't particularly handy away from home.
No.
They're wonderful at the City Ground, but they've been less impressive on their travels. It's a big game, actually. That's tonight, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, Monday night, for anybody listening, tomorrow, which is Tuesday. it could go for a while. And it's a big game. Forest are third, Newcastle are top. They are separated by 10 points, and Newcastle have a game in hand. But it's a big one for Forest because, you know, they could do with making up ground on West Brom, who are second.
Right. Okay. How far back are they?
Hang on, let me just rustle my paper and find out exactly. They're 9 points behind West Brom, Forest.
Right.
They do have a game in hand, and they're 10 points behind Newcastle, who have played a game less than Forest, so therefore have two games in hand on
West Brom. Right, but West Brom only a point behind Newcastle.
Yeah, they've been on a superb run of late, West Brom, although they drew at the weekend, I think I'm right in saying, at Reading. The way the Championship looks at the moment, I would say the top six will be the top six, quite probably in the positions, or at least the top two will be the top two, and the four sides in the playoff will be the four sides in the playoffs.
Eloquence.
I know, it's just it's wonderfully rambling sentences that don't go anywhere.
You just
and then words. Well, the thing is, I stop, and then Jamal stares at me. You see the cogs slowly working. Is there anything else I want to talk about?
Yeah, I've got other questions.
Go on then.
All right, well, Newcastle, they've only lost once in 25. That man, Chris Hooton, he's rootin' tootin'. He's doing a fantastic job, no?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, he's done a superb job to turn the club around. We're in a shambolic state at the start of the season.
What about this bust up in the locker room between Andy Carroll and Stephen Taylor?
Well, apparently Stephen Taylor allegedly
he's got a broken jaw. There's nothing alleged about that.
Well, no, but the reason behind the broken jaw was apparently text messages from
Andy Carroll's ex. It's alleged.
Yeah. Taylor perhaps
there might have been some taunting,
making the point that he was on a few more quid than Andy Carroll,
yeah,
and that was perhaps the reason behind.
That's how I get Mrs. Baz to wear that T-shirt. So you know, that's how it works.
Well, so you're playing the Stephen Taylor role in
very much so. Yeah, but
I would never hit you.
Oh, thanks, Barry.
Would you shake his hand though?
What?
Would you shake his hand in the football lineup?
Oh yeah.
All right. Good.
Why is there something going on that I don't know about?
Nothing at all, mate.
Allegedly.
But it doesn't seem to have impaired Newcastle performances having two members of their team, two local lads as well.
Well, Louise Taylor, yeah. The Guardian's Louise Taylor, had an article on the site saying that she was quite critical of Hughton's man management.
Really?
Because apparently he's accepted that he can't keep both players at the club because they don't get on, and they're breaking each other's jaws, and he's decided he wants to keep Andy Carroll and sell Stephen Taylor. And apparently there's a quite a big dressing room clique in Newcastle, which Andy Carroll is one of the ringleaders, sort of, for want of a better word, and Taylor isn't really a part of it all. Louise is making the point that whatever about the job Hughton has done turning Newcastle around, he's let himself down badly here because he's sacrificing sort of probity for points.
Hmm. Roy Keane, Triggs.
I actually made the point walking in the rumour mill this morning that the worst thing about speculation that Roy Keane is about to be fired is that it would prompt a load of really, really lame gags about dog walking. You've now made two. And he hasn't even been fired yet.
Right. What's precipitated the situation?
Just a string of bad results. Ipswich having a hope in hell of getting into the playoffs. They've been struggling to get out of the bottom three most of the season. And Keane seemed fairly resigned to the fact that he was going to get the bullet after their 0-0 draw with Swansea at the weekend. And he didn't seem that bothered about it. He said worse or better managers than him have got fired. And if the board want to get rid of him, then that's what they'll do.
I'm not quite sure where Ipswich were at around about this time last year when Jim Magilton went for Keane. But I'm pretty sure they couldn't have been a whole lot lower.
And Crystal Palace, any grain of truth behind this fantastic story that P. Diddy might soon be taking over at Selhurst Park?
I hadn't heard that one. That's super. That would be great. Maybe you could hook up with Neil Danz, who's there and has his. Does he? I think he has a recording contract. Neil Danz, Crystal Palace midfielder. You should look him up on Twitter.
Right, I'll do that. Okay,
find out. They've got a huge away from the off-field fund. They've got a huge game tomorrow night. Palace against Watford, who are the two sides at either side of the dotted line at the bottom of the table.
Mm. Wow. Okay. Interesting. Speaking of the Championship, what about the teams battling to avoid joining their ranks, its ranks, next season? Pompey, of course, defeat. Oh, but good news for them. You know, one door closes, another one opens, because the other local side, Southampton, doing well at the weekend, the Johnston Paints Trophy.
Very impressive 4-1 victors over Carlisle in front of 73,500 at Wembley yesterday. They thoroughly outplayed Carlisle. They thoroughly deserved it. And Alan Pardew still setting his sights on the playoffs, which is going to take some doing in League One. I think at the moment they might have just left it a bit too late after their early season punishment, but they're on a hell of a run. And admittedly, I mean, they've spent some good money for that division, and they've got some very good players in there.
Great. Hey, excellent. Pompey, as I mentioned, in all sorts of trouble, but mathematically relegated now. West Ham. Well, first off, the defeat against Stoke, that's what, six in a row now for the Hammers? But how about that Ricardo Fuller goal, eh?
Mm.
But anyway, as I say, it means six defeats in a row for West Ham. They've got some tough games coming up. And they've taken 3 days off to prepare themselves for the battle ahead.
Yeah, it's interesting, that, isn't it? It's one of those things, you could go either way. You could end up they want to freshen up ahead of the trip to Everton next weekend. It could end up clearing players' heads. Well, you could end up sort of stewing on the situation. Managers always try these things. Before Sheffield United played Doncaster earlier this month, Kevin Blackwell, the manager, tried to relax the squad by sitting them down and watching Kez, the Ken Loach film, which I don't know if it was just to try and persuade them that things could be worse, you know. But yeah, you know, they had to, the state they're in, they've got to try something, and if that means taking 3 days off, then...
So you try falconry. that's going to help.
No. Zola might take considerably more than 3 days off.
Yeah, he's plenty of people expecting him to go. He's certainly odds on to be the next Premier League manager out of his post. It's very, very late in the day to be changing managers, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but he might feel that he doesn't have the answers. And certainly 6 defeats in a row would suggest that maybe he doesn't.
Yeah, his quotes after the game were very sort of telling. What did he say? I don't know what he said, actually. I can't remember what they were. They told something. They told a definite story.
Right. Didn't they tell that he was going home to Sardinia? I got the impression he just wants to go home and get a hug from his mum.
Right.
And she's telling him everything's going to be okay and he'll be back.
Right, maybe they should bring her in.
Maybe. She can't do a much worse job than he's doing.
Poor Gianfranco.
Look, everyone likes Gianfranco Zola, but he is struggling badly at West Ham.
Unlike Ian Dowie at Hull, now level with a game in hand with West Ham there in the relegation battle. And, you know, you wouldn't rule them out getting out of the drop zone, would you, Hull?
Well, Hull beat Fulham, who rested many of their best players. And it would be interesting to see if the FA fine Fulham the same way they fine Wolves, because if you ask me, the two crimes, and I put the word in inverted commas, because I think any manager should be allowed to field any first team squad players he wants.
Clint Dempsey played. I mean, it can't have been that much of a beating, was it? Zoltan Gera played.
Zamora was out. I have to rustle and check. Sorry. But I think he rested 4 players.
Right. And £12 million Chris Smalling played, and once again, didn't exactly cover himself in glory.
Ever since that deal with United was agreed, it's really been a tough time for him. He's not playing very well at all at the moment, and he was well and truly muscled out of it by Jose Altidore, I think, on Saturday. And he'll come up against better strikers again for the rest of the season, I think.
Hello? Yeah. Sorry.
Right. Meantime, Barry has an update on the Fulham lineup.
Hodgson rested Bobby Zamora, Danny Murphy and Damien Duff.
Okay. Yeah, well. Okay. Fulham, anyway, in 12th place, and they're, 11 points off the drop zone, so no worries from there. They have that big game coming up against Wolfsburg, who are where in the Bundesliga?
Around about 9th or 10th, I think. They've had quite a disappointing season compared to last year's championship year.
They've got some dangerous players, haven't they? Grafici, Edin Dzeko, whoever
they have.
Everyone's after.
They have. I think Fulham might fancy that one, though. I really do.
Well, they're clearly fired up by the Europa League, as few clubs are. And who would rule them out after their extraordinary performance at the Cottage against Juventus? But in the meantime, with that in prospect on Thursday, let's just finish off then with a quick comment on the, what is it, East Lancashire derby? Is it the Burnley Blackburn?
Yeah, Blackburn beat Burnley 1-0.
Right.
Yesterday, I'd pretty much consigned them to the drop. I mean, Burnley could still mathematically stay up. But
they're only 3 points off, though.
Yeah, but they have to win. They're going to have to win 3 or 4 games when they've struggled to do that all season, really. So there was crowd trouble at the game.
There was a lot of trouble, no?
Yeah, 40 arrests.
Police waving truncheons in the stands.
Yeah, coins, back to the good old days.
Coins thrown,
missiles,
bottles.
Sounds like great fun.
Like, it sounds like Turin.
But Blackburn had a good goal disallowed, then got a penalty they shouldn't have got when Martin Olsen took a blatant dive and the ref was conned by it. And Burnley didn't create much in the way of chances. I think they only created one good scoring opportunity, and a cross took a dink off Christopher Samba and somehow managed to evade both Burnley strikers, so they look pretty doomed.
I'm still just staggered that we're going to potentially end this Premier League season with Brian Laws and Ian Dowie in charge. But I think, as you quite rightly mentioned earlier on, Baz, there's a fair chance that might not still happen even then.
4 points from 36 the Clarets have had under Brian Laws' stewardship. Of course, Dowie should mention, not the manager at Hull, but the management consultant. And what a terrific job he's doing. Watch them go, those Tigers. Now, that's it then for today's Football Weekly, our family-sized extra edition. We'll be back on Thursday with all the reaction to what looks like a particularly mouth-watering midweek series of games in the Champions League. So do join us for that. In the meantime, thanks Barry, James and John and producer Ben and you, the listener, and we'll speak to you on Thursday.
Football Weekly with James Richardson in association with SportingBet.com.